say something, but it's a time for God to use missionaries and myself to have something to say that really will speak to our heart. And I believe with all my heart that we need to pray for these meetings in a special way. And I ask you to pray for me. Please hold me up along with these other missionaries as we preach this week. Because if not, we'll get up and we'll be like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Amen. We won't make a whole lot of sense. Won't really do a whole lot of good. I was just thinking about Brother Kincaid said about inviting people to come see a real live missionary. You don't really realize how really true that is, that many people live their whole life and never meet a real live missionary. They hear about missionaries. They give money in their churches that is sent off through their programs, their denomination to missionaries, but they never meet one. Be a blessing to invite someone. And you know, you might be surprised. They might come. You know, they might come, really. Some people, I believe with all my heart, never come to church because no one ever asks them to come. No one ever really shows a real interest and invites them to come and has a concern for them to come. And invite someone. I'll tell you something else. I don't know just whether God would lead the church to do this or not, but it'd be wonderful if some way, through some medium, that this church could maybe just let it be known that this church has a missionary heart. I mean, you know what this church is doing year by year. I mean, as far as the percentage of your budget that's being used for missions is not just special, it's outstanding. It really is. And I think that there are people here in this city that would like to be a part of a fellowship that has a real heart for missions. And I wish some way that on whether radio, television, or newspaper, whatever, that could be known about the heart of the missionary heart this church has. And as I said, it might be the means of attracting someone who has gotten discouraged in the church or churches they've been in that has no real burden for the cause of evangelizing the world. And so I hope that you'll maybe take that to heart. Open your Bible, please, tonight to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. I want to read tonight about one of my favorite Bible characters. And I have several favorites, but he's really one of my favorites. And you'll find out why he's one of my favorites. I really admire this man. Thank God for him tonight. But I want to look at tonight some mountains, if you will. We're going to read about Caleb, of course. And you know, Caleb said here in this 14th chapter, I want that mountain. I want that mountain. I believe tonight that we here in this church and we other believers and other churches need somehow to get our eyes up higher and our vision needs to become broader. We need to really lengthen our cords, amen, and strengthen our stakes and really trust God. Thank God for what He has done already through our church. But we can't rest on our laurels. We can't sit back and say, we've done this much. How could we do more? There is no limit to what God can do, through us, through individuals or churches that are given over to God and do His will. And, I'm saying this tonight that we many times settle for molehills when God could give us mountains. Amen. And I hope tonight that God will help you individually and then help the church collectively to somehow really expect and look to God and trust God, believe God for even greater things than you've seen heretofore. So I said one of the dangers, believe it or not, and it doesn't matter how far you may have come, one of the dangers of every church is to get to a plateau, to a place, and level off. And that's the death of a church. I mean, I don't care. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's the death of a church. When we stop growing, when we stop advancing, then we're dead. Amen. Everything that God makes, it makes it to grow. And growing things are making progress. Amen. And tonight, I want to think about some mountains, all right, that we need to ask God for. Caleb asked God for a mountain. There's some mountains you and I need to ask God for. But here in Joshua chapter 14, pardon me, beginning in verse 6, Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, I believe that he may have thought he was as strong that day. And I think really his strength was, as far as his spiritual strength, his spiritual dynamic, brother. I mean, what he believed, how he believed God and trusted God. I believe that he believed God as much that day as he did when he was 40 years old. He was saying that, and also, of course, I think he felt his physical strength was as much. But if you put a few years on you, you know it ain't so. Amen. All right. But he said, "My strength is I'm as strong this day as it was in that day that Moses sent me. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, Amen. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance." Amen? Amen. Now, here's a man that is saying, at the age of 85, I want that mountain. You know, I'll tell you something. You need to really ask God to help you to not let your spirit grow old with your body growing old. Amen. A lot of senior saints get to a place and they just kind of feel like, well, I've done my part. I've run my race. I've carried the load for all these years. Now I'm going to sit back and let some others do it. You know, as far as I can tell, there's no place in the Bible that suggests that's right. There's no place in the Bible where there's any suggestion that we're to sit back, ever sit back. There is no discharge, the Bible says, in this war. And therefore, I believe with all my heart. I want to say this tonight, because Doris told me tonight something I said that I gave the impression that never supposed to sit down on the front porch. Let me tell you, it's all right every once in a while to sit down the front porch. All right? As long as you don't sit over maybe 10 minutes and then get up. Amen? And get busy. All right? She said, you left the impression you're never supposed to sit on the front porch. Well, all right. So I got that straightened out. Anyway, I do believe this with all my heart that we need to beware lest we get to the place to where we settle down and become content with what we have achieved. I mean, Joshua, I mean, Caleb here could have been satisfied. I mean, he's in the promised land. He has a tremendous inheritance, but he was not satisfied until he had all the inheritance that had been promised to him. And that included a mountain that was full of giants. And he said, I want that mountain. Well, I tell you, that thrills me to death. That's one of the reasons why I admire this man. I mean, I love a man who loves a good fight. Amen. I love a man who's got some fight in him. I tell you, I hate to see a man with no fight, no spirit, no spunk. Amen. He said, I want that mountain. I know there's giants up there, but if God's with me, he'll help me and we'll drive them out. Amen. I want that mountain. Amen. I want that mountain. God, help us tonight to somehow be able to lift our eyes a little higher from the little molehills that we've been satisfied with and say, God, I want a mountain. Amen. I know there's giants up there. Amen. I mean, the higher you go, the bigger they are too. Amen. Sure. You can be content to live in the lowlands. You can be satisfied down there with the rest of the pygmies if you want to. Or you can go up there where the giants are. Amen. And where God's victories are. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, launch out into the deep. Amen. Watch out in the deep. That's where the fish are, in the deep. Amen. They're on the mountain. They're in the deep. They're not in the shallow waters. They're not on the little molehills, the little lowlands. I mean, the work of God, the great work of God is on the mountaintop. It's up in the highlands. It's out in the deep. And I'm saying tonight that we have some missionary mountains we ought to ask God for. They're real mountains. Amen. I mean, they really are. First of all, we need to ask God for the mountain of lands that are yet to be evangelized. Oh, tonight, I think about the countries. Let me back up and say this. Thank God for what the church has done. Thank God for what this church has done. I'm not downplaying that the least little bit. I respect that. I admire that. But let me say tonight that no matter what we may have done, that we Christians have done, and thank God for the countries that have been reached, but think tonight of the many countries that have yet to be reached. I'm saying there are mountains of land still unevangelized tonight that we need to reach. And I'm saying tonight, we need to say, God, give me the mountain of these unreached lands. Don't let me be satisfied to go into the... You know, that was one thing about Hudson Taylor. One of the reasons God blessed him was because he didn't go into the easy areas. He didn't go into the lowlands. He didn't go, in the shallow waters. He went into the interior of China. He pressed away from the coastline where the good amenities were, and where the ships came in and brought all the supplies from America and England and what have you. I mean, he pushed into the interior of China and kept pushing further and further and further in. Amen. Why, brother? I mean, brother, because that's where God had called him. That's where the work was. Amen. And I'm saying tonight, the unevangelized of China, the unevangelized of these great mountains, we need to ask God. God, give us China tonight. The biggest mountain, I mean, population-wise, is China. 1,200,000,000 people in China tonight. Think of that, if you will. Can you imagine that number of people? 1,200,000,000 people in China. And we need to say, God, help us to reach that mountain. God, give us that mountain tonight. I mean, we as a church here. Amen. You as an individual ought to pray for China. Amen. My God, help us. I read recently about a missionary, a brother Chalmers, serving in Africa. And one day, two African chieftains came to him and said, we need a missionary. We need a teacher. Will you send someone? And Brother Chalmers said, I'm sorry, there's no one to send. And they went back and they left. 2 years later, they came back and they said to Mr. Chalmers, we need a missionary. Can you send someone? And he said, well, right now, he said, I don't have anyone to send, but I've got a little time, I can go. And so he went with them to their tribes. And when he arrived in the village, he was shocked to see every individual of that village on their knees. And he said to the chieftains, what are they doing? He said, they're praying. He said, but they're not saying anything. He said, they don't know what to say. He said, for 2 years, ever since we first came and asked you for a missionary, we've met every Sunday for 4 hours, and we get on our knees and pray. He said, but you don't say anything. I know. We don't know what to say. That's why we need a missionary to tell us and teach us what to say. I think about the places in the world tonight that are like that, that they know there must be something. There must be someone. I know this even here in America. I knew at one time here in religious America. I knew that there was something beyond what I had. I didn't know where it was at. I didn't know what it was. I mean, but I knew something was missing in my life. Amen. And I know what it is now. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God's salvation, God's Son. Amen. But I mean, there was something missing. I knew that, something lacking in my life. But I'm saying, think about the mountain of unevangelized lands. Lands that, you know, that have never heard and never will hear. Amen. Without missionaries that can go. Amen. God, you know, God doesn't have any other means of reaching this world except through you and me. And we need to take that to heart tonight. I mean, really take it to heart. And I'm saying tonight, you know, Spain for many years had as their motto, ni plus ultra, which means no more beyond. They thought they were the end of the world. They thought there was nothing else out there. But in 1492, Columbus sailed off away from Spain. And in several years, in several months later, he found that there was more. There was a lot more out there, amen? And if we're not careful, we as a church can adopt the same attitude. No more beyond, amen? We've done this, so we've reached out this far. We've given this much. We've sent this many missionaries. I'm knee plus ultra. There's no more out there. But there is more, amen? There are more missionaries right here tonight. Potential missionaries right here. There's more potential missionaries out there, out there tonight. Amen. Yes, they've got to be saved first. They've got to be trained first, but they're out there. Amen. And I'm saying we need to say, God, give us this mountain of these unevangelized lands. Amen. Oh, so many countries tonight. I was just reading again tonight. I looked at that last night, the poster from Poland. And I appreciate that, whoever put that together. But I was reading that tonight. 40 million people in Poland. Amen. And I think if I remember what the poster says, they've identified about 38,000 believers in Poland out of that 40 million. Can you imagine that? I mean, less than 0.2%, I think, of 1% of Poland are believers. 40 million people that God created, that God loves tonight, that God cares about. A mountain steeped in Roman Catholicism. Amen. Steeped in that. A mountain. God, give us that mountain. Amen. God, give us that mountain of Poland. Amen. God, give us China. Amen. God, give us India with its 900 million souls. God, give us these countries of the world. We ought to pray, God, tonight. Like Cato. Let's not get satisfied. Let's not get content. Let's never be content, amen, with what we've done. But brother, ask God, God, give me a greater vision. God, give me a greater desire. God, stir up my soul. And God, help me never to be content, dear Lord. Amen. And, I mean, let me just keep moving forward, amen, and pressing on. Robert Moffat, the great missionary, said, and this has been 150 years ago, he said, in the morning sun, I've seen the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been. You know, that was tragic when he spoke those words 150 years ago. But I'll tell you what's even more tragic, that's almost basically still true today after 150 years. I'm saying this evening, we need to ask God, oh God, help us to have a vision. God, help us to have a burden for these unreached multitudes. Think, if you will, of Peru and South Korea and Italy, 58 million, North Korea, 24 million. Think, if you will, of all the countries of the world tonight. And I'm saying unevangelized countries. So many places tonight some places that have no known believers, like the Maldives. Not one known believer in the Maldives. Not one known Christian. Why hasn't God called someone to go there? Oh, He has. You can be sure of that. He has. But someone just hasn't said yes to God. I'm telling you tonight, we need to ask God for the mountain of unevangelized lands. Did you realize that tonight that one out of every two people in the world have never heard about Jesus? I mean, you think about it tonight. One out of every two people living tonight have never heard about Jesus. And it's our job, I believe with all my heart, to tell them the good news of Christ. The second mountain we need to ask God for, I believe, is a mountain of lives unsurrendered. I tell you, that is a great mountain tonight. It's a daunting mountain tonight. It's a fearful mountain tonight. I mean, you get into that, brother, I tell you, folks begin to, you can just see the barriers going up. Amen. Mike was talking tonight about the elevator doors. I've seen the doors I've seen go up like this. I mean, it just rises up when you start preaching on something like that. Amen. It just, that shield just goes up. Hey, you're not talking to me, preacher. Huh? Well, who am I talking to? Who was the Lord talking to? Amen. When He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who was He talking to? If He wasn't talking to you, who was He talking to? Amen. Go ye means you. That's right. It means you and you and me. That's who he meant when he said go ye. And I'm saying tonight that we have a mountain of unsurrendered lives. That is, we have churches full of people singing the hymns and praying the prayers and going to church, enjoying God and what have you, enjoying their religion. I mean, week after week and year after year, and yet have never really seriously considered that giving their lives to God as a missionary. We have a mountain of lives unsurrendered. I'm saying tonight this. I don't believe that we have the option to choose and say, well, I'm going to decide to be a missionary. That's not your choice to decide. But I tell you what you do need to decide. You need to decide to do what God wants you to do. And I know this tonight. I know that if God so loved the world, and He does love the world, God so loved the world tonight. He loves the world. Amen. Do you believe that God so loved the world? Then should we go into all the world? And who's going to go into all the world if you and I don't do it? I mean, if not you, who? Amen? If not you, who? And I'm not saying you, who. I'm saying if not you, then who? Amen? I mean, it's amazing. I used to, especially in the church where I was pastor, and I still hear it some, where I preach in the church and I'll come out and some folks say, boy, I tell you, you really preached to them tonight. I always look for I wonder who was. You let them have it, huh? Oh, really? I see. But never could find them. Amen? It's amazing. Even here tonight, some of you, while I'm preaching, you're thinking, you know, old Joe Blow needs to hear this. I wish old Tom was here. I wish Susie was here. You know, so-and-so, I'd like to get a tape for this and send it to my friend. How about you listening to it?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
How about you taking it to heart? You see, I'm not preaching to Amen. I'm really not. I don't mean that smartly, but I'm really not. I'm preaching to us. Amen. Too many times, brother, we've taken the message and we've passed it over, right? To someone behind us, someone on the side of us, or someone in our mind that we think, well, that'd be great for them. But it's really for us. Amen. I'm talking about the mountain of lives unsurrendered tonight. It's a mountain. I mean, think about tonight. I mean, if God loves the world, and God does, I mean, then why would there be place in the world where there's no missionary? Is that God's choosing? I will never believe that. I mean, you may, but I will never believe that. I believe that they're not missionaries in these places because people that God has called have refused to heed the call and go. They've refused to surrender their life. You know, many of God's people say, here am I, Lord, send him. You know, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And you know, or some of us, you know, like this, it's kind of like, here am I, Lord. Yeah. Next year, here am I, Lord. Yeah, still here. Next year, here am I. I mean, there's another part to that. It's not just here am I, it's send me. Amen. Did you know that God never called Isaiah until he said, here am I, send me? God didn't say go until he said, send me. Then he said, go. Amen? You never know that God hasn't called you to be a missionary until you say, here am I, Lord, send me. Now, he may say stay, but he may say go. Amen? I'm saying we have a mountain of unsurrendered lives in our churches tonight. And we're warming these benches or warming these chairs. Amen. And that's about the extent we come, we sit, we listen, we smile, we shake our head, we say amen, we put our money in the box and we go home. But God may have more than that for you. Amen. I'm not suggesting that that's not, I mean, for some of us, God certainly has left some of us here and wants some of us to be here. I mean, for His own purpose, His own reason. But I'll tell you, I believe that there's people in this church tonight, in Old Knoll tonight, as good a church as this is, that God has called, that have never surrendered to the call of God. Amen. I tell you, it's a blessing when we surrender to the call of God. Amen. It really is. I'm saying we need to ask God. God, give us the mountain. I mean, what I'm saying is we need to pray. In fact, that's what the Lord told us. He said, you have an impossible task. You don't have enough volunteers. You don't have enough workers. And so what are we to do? He said, you're to pray. Amen. Pray for this great mountain of surrendered people, that they might surrender. Amen. Pray for the will of people to be yielded to the will of God. Amen. We need to pray for that. Amen. I pray, and I make an appeal. I'm making an appeal all this week, appealing Give your life to God. Surrender to the will of God. Amen? God. Listen, I tell you the happiest thing in the world is to know you're in the center of the will of God. Now, I know that upsets some people. You know, when you tell them I'm in the center, right in the center. I mean, I'm right in the center, not somewhere near. I'm right in the center of the will of God. They get upset at that. They feel like, oh, you're not, no one's right there. Well, I'm right there. I'm exactly tonight where God wants me to be. Amen? Yes. Folks say, well, are you in the permissive will? You're in the hey, man, you're either in the will or you're out of the will. Amen? Yes. I mean, get off this permissive will and perfect will. Brother, you're either in the will of God or you're out of the will of God. Yes. Amen? Yes. They don't like that. Well, I'm sorry. It's right anyway. Amen? Are you married? Well, I'm in the permissive marriage. I'm in the permissive circle of marriage. Are you married or aren't you married? Well, I'm kind of somewhere around there. Are you and Doris married? Well, we're kind of thinking of kind of along that line. Huh? What are you talking about? Yes, I'm married. Amen. Are you in the will of God or you out of the will of God? Well, hey man, you're either in the will of God or you're out of the will of God. If you're not surrendered to the will of God to be willing to go anywhere, to be anything, to do anything, to pay whatever is involved in the cost, the price, then you're out of the will of God. He said, that's pretty tough. I didn't make that standard. Jesus made that. He said, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself. Deny himself. Take up his cross. Amen? And follow me. Deny himself. That's clear enough, isn't it? Deny yourself. Well, I want to, doesn't matter what you want to be. Well, I thought I'd be, doesn't matter what you thought you'd be. Deny yourself. God, what do you want me to be? Amen? I've had people ask me, when did you decide to preach? I never did decide to preach. Amen? Let me decide. God told me to preach. He'd even say, please. He said, preach. Now, I didn't have to. I could say no. You could say no. Dale could have said no. Any of you here that are preaching could have said no. But thank God you said yes. Amen? These that are missionaries. I mean, God didn't ask you if you'd like to be a missionary. God told you to be a missionary. Thank God that you said yes. I'm saying tonight that we have a mountain of unsurrendered lives. And how we need to ask God, oh God, help us to see this change. Amen. I'm trying to make us aware tonight of the need. And there is a tremendous need tonight. And the resources, forget the Methodists tonight, folks. I don't mean that wrong, but forget that. See, we're not dealing with them tonight. You know, forget the Presbyterians and yeah, even the Baptists tonight. Amen. We're talking about us right here. Unsurrendered lives in the church at Oak Knoll. Amen. Unsurrendered lives. I'm saying we need to ask God, give us His mountain. Amen. You know, I was reading some time ago about Methuselah. And you know, I found something interesting about him. You know, you all know that he was, the oldest man that ever lived. He lived to be 969 years of age. That's pretty old. Huh? That's pretty old. You know what else he did was outstanding? Nothing. That's right. He just lived a long time. Yeah, I mean, that's all he's known for. He lived a long time. He's an old man. Good grief. Man, Lord, deliver me from that's all that I do. Just live a long time. Amen. Well, you know, my grandpa, he lived to be 95. Well, that's not bad. But what did he do during those 95 years?
Yeah, amen.
What did he do with those 95 years? Listen, David Brainerd died at the age of 29. 29, he hadn't even reached 30. He did more for God in those few brief years than most of us will ever do for God. Brother, he packed his life. He was surrendered to God. Amen? It's not how long you live, it's what you do while you're living. Amen? What do you do with your years? Surrender lives. What a shame that a president can ask for volunteers to go to Vietnam and rescue the POWs and have more volunteers than he can possibly use. And yet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus, our Lord, can call for volunteers and we say, well, Lord, I've got something else to do. We're talking about unsurrendered lives. Amen? It's a mountain tonight. We need to ask God. God, give us that mountain. The third mountain tonight we need to ask God for is a mountain of unconsecrated money. Did you know our money, I say our money, the money we have needs to be consecrated money. Amen? That is, many of God's people have the idea that if they give 10%, you know, and then give a missionary offering above that, that they've satisfied the requirements and the rest of the money, buddy, that's mine. Amen? Did you know that that money that you have is not yours? It belongs to God. Amen? I mean, when you get that paycheck this coming Friday and look at that, I mean, you just say this, this is all God's. Amen? Now, God doesn't use you to ask you for all of it in the sense that you put all in the church or put all in the offering, but it's all God's. It needs to be consecrated to God. You need to look on what you have in your bank account, in your billfold. You need to look on that and recognize this is God's money. And the way you can tell if it really is, if you really have accepted that, is that when God tells you to do something with some of it, that you do what He tells you to do. Amen. You know, for some years, Doris and I, first of all, of course, my mom and dad, and then later Doris and I, and Dale Nella also, helped look after an older lady named Leola Heath. And when she got up in years, she got to the place where she couldn't take care of her business affairs, and so she put my name on her account. And I took care of, I put money in her account. I took, you know, I wrote checks for her. I paid bills for her, what have you. You know, many times I'd go over there and she'd say, I want you to write a check to this missionary. Now, wouldn't I have been something? I said, well, let's talk about that. You know what she'd have said? Talk about my foot. Shut up and write the check. It's my money. Amen? Even though I signed the check. Amen? I mean, it was her money. I wasn't dealing with my money. I was dealing with her money. And she had the right to do what she wanted to with it. Amen? I'm saying that we need to recognize that the money in our account really is not really our money. It's God's. And I'm saying that our money needs to be consecrated to God. Did you know that money, unconsecrated money is like barnyard manure. You heap it up, you stack it up, it stinks. Amen? But yet you take that same manure and you spread it out and it blesses. It helps crops to grow and what have you. And you know, when we stack up, there's nothing wrong with having things. Even though Michael doesn't believe in having a yard or a starter on his car. It really wouldn't hurt Michael to have a starter, son. Really. God would not really look down on you for that. But it's kind of like a submarine. There's no problem when the submarine's in the water. But when you get water in the submarine, you got a problem. For us to have money, it's fine. But when money has us, then that's not fine. In fact, if you've got a great deal of money, there's no problem with that as long as it's held like this. Amen. And God says, you take some of that and you do this. Yes, Lord. And you take some of that and do this. Yes, Lord. Sure, there it is. Amen. Do this, do that. Yes, all right, fine. But it's when you begin to do like this, whether it's a... And by the way, folks without a whole lot of money can get that way too. You can get tight with just, with pennies. Amen. In fact, some of the tightest wads I've met have been people that didn't have hardly anything to rub together. Amen. Kind of like old Johnny. I heard about Johnny. His teacher was trying to teach a math lesson. She said, Johnny, if you reached in your right pocket and you had a quarter, and you reached in your left pocket and had a quarter, what would you have? He said, I have somebody else's pants on. He knew he didn't have two quarters. Amen. I'm saying this tonight. Our money needs to be consecrated money. And if you've never done this, I think it would be pleasing to God to get with your husband, your wife, your family, and take your checkbook and just get down one day soon and just lay it out before God and just put your hands on it and say, God, we just want to dedicate this to you. And everything that comes into this ever, dear God, we want to recognize it's yours. I mean, do it as a real act unto God. Consecrate all that you have, your home. Amen. I mean, that home is not your home. Amen? I mean, your automobiles, we ought to be such that if God said, give that car to so-and-so, you just say, here, there you are. You know? Amen? Why? Because it's not my car. My name's on the title, but it's not my car. Amen? Don't you own a car? Yes, but really, God really owns that car. I'm saying that we need to ask God to give us a mountain of unconsecrated money. My. The fourth and last thing tonight is we need to ask God for the mountain of unoffered prayers. And I'm going to tell you something tonight, folks. I believe of all the shortcomings that God's people have tonight, that's the biggest of all. We say our prayers over our meals. We may even have a little devotion where we say a little brief prayer. But, you know, there's not many folks that are really praying anymore. I would hate to in 1997 to be a missionary on the mission field and depend upon the average church to keep me going in prayer. Amen? I mean, I really would. Now, I don't know about this church. I really don't know. I mean, a lot about it. I would suspect that they do a lot more praying than maybe most churches. But let me tell you something. We need somehow to recognize tonight that there is a mount yet where that we've never scaled and really conquered to where we really become men and women of prayer.
Amen.
To where we pray. You know, so many times we do everything else in the world and we finally say, well, I guess the only thing left to do is to pray. Instead of being the last resort, it ought to be the first resort. It ought to be the first thing we do. We would come overnight and I'm getting my car worked on, so I'm coming in another car tonight. And about 10 minutes towards coming here, the whole front end starts going like it's going to come out from underneath it. First thing we start doing, amen, was praying. Oh God, help this car, heal this car, whatever it needs. We need to get to the meeting. Amen? Amen. I mean, it ought to be the first thing we do. Instead of getting out, trying to fix it, and going through all the whatever, and then say, well, I guess we better pray about it. No, pray about it first. Amen? The need tonight in the world or on the mission field, the greatest need is not money. That is a need, a great need. The greatest need tonight is even not more workers. When Jesus said, pray ye to the Lord of the harvest, they may send forth laborers into his harvest. I think that there is a twofold meaning there. I think one is certainly we need to pray for God to call out workers, but he didn't say pray to the Lord of harvest and may call out workers. He said he may send forth laborers. I think there's a means of empowerment, of sending them forth, of thrusting them into the work with his power upon them. And I think that comes about through us praying for our missionaries. And you need to, by the way, you need to have some means of doing that. If you've not worked out something, you know, in your own life about praying for your missionaries, let me suggest something to you tonight. You might just take it like we have. Take a 3x5 card and write down the names of your missionaries. Amen? Write down the name of the husband and the wife. Amen? Write down the names of the children and then call them out to God. Amen? Pray for them. Amen? Get on your knees and you know, wouldn't you hate to be undergoing surgery for cancer and it was malignant and not much hope, and to have someone praying like this, and God bless all those who have cancer. I like something a little more specific than that. You know, I like my name. God bless Joe West and help him with his cancer. Amen. And yet, you know, you get the idea. That's kind of the way, that's what missionaries get. After we prayed for ourselves, our job, our family, God bless me and mine. Amen. You know, help me, you know, provide for me, give me an increase in salary. Oh yes, and bless all the missionaries. You know, and we laugh about it, but it's not laughable. The missionaries come home broken, and someone said they couldn't make it, they couldn't make it, they couldn't cut the mustard. I feel like cutting their tongue out. I'll tell you what happens to all the missionaries. Brother, they're bombarded by the devil's power, and no one's praying for them. No one's holding them up before God. Well, can't they pray? Yes, they can pray, but we need to pray for them. Brother, sometime they get in such a fix. Brother, they need not only what praying they do, they need someone else, brother, back at home to hold on to God and pray for them and hold them up. Well, I tell you, I know with all my heart, if I know anything, I know this, that I have people praying for me by name. We meet them all over the country, that people will say to me and Doris, we pray for you every day. I feel like getting down on my knees. Amen. I mean, really. I am so grateful to God to have someone that prays for me. I mean, if they pray for me once a month, but to pray for me every day. Brother, I know if there's any benefit or any blessing or any help anyone gets through my preaching, it's because someone is praying for me. And I'm saying we have the mountain of unoffered prayers and how we need to say, God, help us to conquer that mountain. Help us, dear God, to shut that television off. Amen. Dear me, there are more, I just got a deal in the mail before I came down here, and now they got something where you get 500 channels. Well, 500 channels. What in the world would you do with all them channels? Three is too many. Amen? I mean, shut the television off. Shut off the radio. Shut off everything else and get on with God somewhere and pray. Don't wait till the last hour of the night and struggle and try to stay awake. I mean, in the morning, in the early time, somewhere when you're fresh. Amen. Get on your knees and talk to God.
Amen.
and pray for these missionaries. Amen. The devil is working overtime with these missionaries. He's trying to divide their marriages. Amen. He's trying to bring division in the church. He's trying to discourage them in various ways. I mean, financially they get a pinch and so forth. Brother, we need to hold them up before God and hold them up and pray for them and pray for them. Amen. God help us to be a praying people. Amen. You don't have to advertise it. Just do it. Amen. Just do it. And don't be embarrassed about it. I mean, I'm saying you don't have to be ashamed when someone, you know, comes to your house, you're praying. Just tell them, well, we were praying. Amen. In fact, I'd be ashamed if I couldn't say it once in a while. No one ever caught me praying. Amen. I must not pray much. Amen. I'm saying tonight we have the mountain of unoffered prayers. My. You know, Paul said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, I was troubled. He said, I was pressed out of measure, above strength, despairing of life. Who? Paul, the man of God. The greatest, I think, missionary that ever lived. Not considering Jesus, of course. The greatest missionary. Despaired of life. Then he says, ye also helping together by prayer for us. And he said, God who delivered us and doth deliver us. Amen. Amen. He's not about to go under. Have you ever been like that, Christian? Stateside Christian? Have you ever been like that? I have. Despairing of life? Yes. Amen. Overwhelmed. Yet someone prayed, and you felt God lifting you up, helping strength. I don't know. You know, I know that we'll never know for sure till we get to heaven just how God did all that and how it all worked. But I know this with all my heart tonight. I know that there is there's a definite connection between my praying for someone out there, amen, and the strength that God gives it. You know, they got real excited some years ago when they started all the satellite business. They said, we got satellites up there. We bounce a signal off that satellite. I thought, man, we've been doing that for 2,000 years. Amen. We just bounce our prayer up there on God. Amen. I mean, I can pray down here to God up there, and God up there answers down here. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, in Lakey, Texas, I can pray and send a prayer up and down there in San Luis Potosí, God can answer for Mike and Susan. Isn't that amazing? And you see, I really believe, I don't believe it's just something that I pray to make myself feel better. Amen. I believe there's a definite connection. Amen. I believe every time that I call these men and women out to God in prayer, I believe God helps them. And by the way, I don't just pray usually in general. I try to pray specific. Amen. And we do pray for you, by the way. Amen. And your children. And we pray specific. We pray for you, Michael and Terry. Amen. Amen. Your family. We pray for Dale. We pray for these missionaries. I'm saying we call their name out, but we pray specific for them. We name some things that we're aware of that they need. And you know, we see God working. We see God doing certain things. Praise the Lord. Amen. Boy, it's a mountain. We have a mountain out there of unoffered prayers. We're so busy. We're so involved. We don't have time to pray. God help us. Let's stand together. Father, God, tonight, I thank you, dear Lord, for your great love for us. I thank you, God, for the job that's before us. Dear Lord, I thank you that we have some mountains out there. Dear God, I don't know about anyone else, but tonight I'm thankful, God, for the challenge that's before us. And God, I thank you, dear Lord. I don't want a lowland job. Dear Lord, I don't want a shallow water job. Dear God, I pray tonight for these mountains. God, give us some of these lands that are not, they're not evangelized, that are not reached yet. God, give us these lands. I think of East Germany tonight, and God, I think even of Romania, even though many have gone there, and yet, Lord, so much yet to be done there. And God, I think about Poland, and I think about Russia, even with all the interest there. God, so many places in the world tonight. I think about Lord, Peru down there in South America. I think about so many places there that, Lord, have never been reached. I think about, dear God, so many isolated villages and countries and cities and towns. Oh, God, help us, dear Lord, that we might ask you for the mountains tonight, that God, that ought to be ours. Give us, I pray, the spirit of Caleb tonight. And God, help us not to be satisfied just coasting down here. Help us to be climbers, oh, God. Help us to be spiritual climbers, oh, God, and willing to fight the good fight of faith, oh, God. I do pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to come tonight. All I know to do is preach and then ask you to respond as God has talked to your heart. And if you need to pray tonight, you want to come to these front chairs up here or kneel where you're at, whatever God wants you to do, you come tonight. If God's called some of you, God, listen, we have a mountain of unsurrendered lives. If you've never surrendered your life tonight, this would be a wonderful time and a wonderful place. You may say, well, I can do it tomorrow. I'll do it somewhere else. This would be a wonderful place to do it. Amen. To come tonight, and I mean, you'd have to do it, be sincere about it, but to come tonight and kneel down and say, God, I want to surrender my life. God, I'm willing to be anything you want me to be. I'm willing, dear God, to go anywhere you want me to go. I'm willing to stay here. I'm willing, dear God, to pay whatever price is involved in serving you. God, here am I, said you. Would you do that tonight? Maybe you've been slacking in the area of prayer. I mean, prayer is almost non-existent in your life. Your prayers have been basically for your food and for your family. Why don't you come tonight and say, God, help me to claim the mountain of unoffered prayers. And let me become a prayer warrior. Let me hold these missionaries up, oh God, to hold them up. Amen? Maybe not. You need to come and put that checkbook and that billfold on God's altar and say, God, I want to consecrate my money to you. Amen? Whatever God wants you to do tonight, you do it. While we sing what number, brother?
99.
Number 99. I invite you to come tonight. If God's spoken to your heart, you can step out right now and come or kneel at your chair or whatever you feel God wants you to do. But you obey God tonight and that'll be sufficient. You obey God.